This is Engineer Eric on the Jimmy Dunn Show. You're listening to part two of our March 8th Jimmy Dunn Show.
Yep, part two. There you go.
And we have Stitch in with us.
On the line.
On the line from Colorado.
And he's from the crossroads over in, where are you from, Stitch?
From deep within Spider Mountain.
Deep within Spider Mountain, where the Stargate resides.
That's right. Yeah, he hangs out with Richard Dean Anderson like every day.
Yeah, Eric, you if know. You time your trip out here, I'll take you for a tour of Spider Mountain.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man.
Yeah.
Hey, he just fainted.
Yeah, he's going.
Yeah, he just,
right, he just he'll be there in about 7 hours.
Yeah, he just Googled Expedia and got a ticket.
No, they got a, no, we got a good deal now that we have a, like a friends and family kind of deal, so I can, you know, but I have to know, you know, somewhat in advance and I can arrange for it, but.
Yeah. Do we have to have, like, clearance?
No, I take you in.
Okay.
You're good.
Because with the clearance, yeah, we never, clearance is cape. Like NG, no go.
He's got one of those Harry Potter capes that, you know, you flip around and like, it makes you invisible.
Makes you invisible.
Yeah, if they had that requirement, you guys wouldn't even get close to Colorado Springs.
No, no.
We don't even want to tempt fate, right?
No.
This is Mr. Mustafa and his dad, Mr. Mustafa.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Nah, probably wouldn't, we probably wouldn't make it, I don't think.
No, well, you'd anyway. Be just fine.
Well, this is Engineer Eric on the Jimmy Doan Show, and you're listening to the Jimmy Doan Show with Jimmy Doan and Council Curtis and Babe Lisa and Stitch on the line. The Poltergeist is huddling over in their corner, making sure that
trying
we're
to make sure. Yeah, this thing's like in HD or something, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It's like 720 by a whole bunch.
Actually, it's like 1280 by like a whole bunch.
Okay, then that's that works.
You know.
That'll work. Okay.
1,000 points of light.
1,000 points of light.
That's
of
it. Light. God, I had
like
some...
the focus, like Jimmy's focus on the show here.
No, Jimmy lost. Jimmy lost concentration completely when I went out there and.
I got a little one. This is kind of a light note, but I'll chuck it in now.
Okay.
Jimmy, they had an assignment the other day at the school district. Where all those teachers got suspended. Did you read about that? Somewhere they fired like every teacher at the school. And so the assignment that I saw, and I could be confusing stories here, but I can tell you this. The assignment for these little kids, these were like kindergartners, first graders, was write to President Obama and beg for their parents' jobs and their teachers' jobs and stuff, man.
Wow.
I mean, no shame at all. You know, here today, kids, I mean, this is like a Mr. Garrison assignment.
Yeah, right.
You know, today, kids, we're all going to write to the president and tell him that you want us to be able to keep our jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, these, you know, kindergartners. It was like, and
dear Santa.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like that's how the letters read. Please let my teacher keep her job. She's a good teacher. We like her. I mean,
there was, you know, I've got several things here on education that I want to talk about. As a matter of fact, and that you brought that up, it's really good.
There you go, Kurt.
How about that?
Yeah, no, yeah. You did well. There was a big deal
good lead
in Kansas. I don't know if you know this, but I think it was about 15 years ago. Somebody sued in Kansas, and a judge took over the Kansas school system and required that the state pony up $2 billion for the education. I think it was in Kansas City. I'm not sure. And at that time, the amount of money that was being spent per student was about $9,000. Since then, and of course, what they did is with the money, they built like Olympic swimming pools, and it just went crazy with all the new stuff. Today, the spending is around $15,000 per student, and the number of students in that district has declined by about 2/3 because people are flooding out of it because the school system is so bad, and the graduation rate is like zero. And I mean, this is after all the billions that have been spent in this particular thing, and it just shows you that the more money, and now currently the spending per student is something like $15,000, and some of the schools, because so many people have migrated out of it because they're so poor, then there's schools that are supposed to hold like 2,000 that have like 200. and they're trying to close them, and because of the unions and everything, and the protests and everything,
and the letters from the kindergartners.
So interesting, along with this same thing, this is from March 4th. California students protest education cuts.
Now this amazes me.
This is stunning. In Sacramento, okay, angered by increases in tuition and cuts in state financing, thousands of students, parents, and faculty members protested across California on Thursday at colleges, universities, and even elementary schools to plead for help with the state's education crisis. Last Thursday afternoon, however, more than 150 people were arrested after they stopped traffic along an interstate in Oakland, according to the California Highway Patrol. And authorities were using pepper spray to stop the... So anyway, the problem, of course, is that California has a $20 billion shortfall. And
legalize it.
Well, what's interesting... yeah, exactly. The fact is that it costs you like a I don't know, 25% of what the actual cost is for a student to go, and they want to ramp it up to 30 or 35%, and that's, everybody's complaining about that. Oh, woe is us. And so on Wednesday, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, Republican in his last year in office, said the layoffs and reductions in courses carried out by some schools were terrible. The bottom line, he said, was they need much more money. It's just, where might this money come from is unclear. And so the Democratic majority leader of the state assembly has proposed a 12.5% increase on the state's oil producers, which would raise $2 billion, which is not even come close to what they need. But unfortunately, any new tax in California requires 2/3 majority in the legislature. We talked about this on the first part. And so the prospects are uncertain. But I love this. When you go through this, the protesters, they shut down the access to the university. They stayed away from classes in protest. Good. It reminds me of the people that when they protested, the Rodney King thing, they went and burned down their houses.
Yeah, no, that's always,
always a smart thing to do. You know,
they yeah. just. Well, and the
we really mean it, damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
And in the Olympics, I mean, they attacked that store that's selling Olympic memorabilia. Didn't you hear about that in Vancouver?
No,
there was a little small scale riot on like the first day or two of the.
I did not know that.
And they smashed the window of the Macy's.
The reason was
because apparently the Olympics is making all this money, and these people wanted money to be made for their individual causes, for their little causes. They had
there was a profit making thing, and we don't like profits.
Well,
no,
they wanted profits. No.
Unless it's beneficial to us.
Right, right.
Well,
from what I read, some of the more disgruntled groups had little causes like Save the Foxes or whatever, and they were seriously, and they were upset because people were spending so much time and attention at the Olympics and not saving foxes or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's something else. So anyway, several hundred students protested at the Bruin Plaza, University of California.
These people stormed buildings. They shut down administrative buildings. They shut down roads.
Right.
I mean, they destroyed productivity.
Yep. And but I love this here. This fellow Raphael, whatever his name is, a graduate student in
General
the School
Hammond
of Education.
General requests permission to beat the crap out of this man.
I mean, that's approved.
Yeah.
But I love this. One of the things that has often that I've always said in it is that the schools of education should all be closed. They are inimical to education. They're the worst. Anyway. He plans to be a public high school teacher, was one of the hundreds protesting. I plan to be a teacher, but it's not my job prospects I'm worried about. It's the whole system. Well, yeah, guess what? Kids come to school hungry. Some are homeless, said Mary Flanagan, 55, a third grade teacher from Richmond. How can we deal with problems like that with as many as 38 or 40 kids in a class? We've had tons of protests here, and it doesn't do much, said so-and-so, studying music. All they do is turn off the news. Yeah, well, that's, okay.
Oh, speaking of education, since we're on education.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you see the German family?
Next on the list.
Oh,
right here.
Yeah, I sent you the guys that.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
homeschooling.
Top-notch.
German family gets political asylum. Not for long.
Oh, really? Are they going to send them back?
They are going to send them back. They
political asylum to school their kids.
That's right.
Homeschool.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Here's the deal. This, I did not realize this. In Germany, it is illegal to homeschool your kids.
Yeah, the Hobbs is all taken care of.
Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah. I mean, it's our fundamental right. He's, of course, this Uwe Rumpke or whatever it is.
They must be molded in our ideal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. No, I mean, when you realize that the whole public school education system originated with the Prussian model of the 1880s and 90s.
And look where that got you.
Exactly. No. If you look at the history of public education, it is the militaristic indoctrination of slaves. I mean, it's just the elites train the proles to be worker bees and military people, and that's all you want from these people. You want absolute conformity, absolute obedience. That is the basis for the public school education system.
You must goose step with vigor.
Speaking of goose step.
Mike's out of Moosenhausen.
Don't let me forget to tell you about the closing of the gate in India and Pakistan. It's our fundamental right to decide how to... And all this.
I suspect you're going to have to put a link to that one, Eric.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. God damn it. I knew it was going to be
Yeah, sorry, brother.
Time.
I was trying to hold off as long as I could, but I knew that's going to deserve a link.
It does. Actually, that was a really strong link you sent me. That was pretty cool.
Evangelical Christian, a concert pianist who sold his treasured Steinway to help pay for the move. He decided to uproot his family in 2008 after
he sold his Steinway. Yeah. I mean, a concert pianist selling his Steinway. That's like...
Lisa Simpson selling your saxophone.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Okay. So anyway, he had accrued $10,000 in fines for homeschooling his three oldest children, and the police had turned up on their doorstep and escorted them to school. So anyway, they moved to the United States, and the question, of course, occurred, why didn't they go to Austria or someplace like that where they are allowed to do homeschooling? They said there's another bunch of reasons, but they were welcomed by this place in Tennessee to do homeschooling. And they, but the Justice Department has decided to appeal the asylum.
Oh.
A judge said it was pretty much okay, but the Justice Department said no. And the reason is they don't want to offend a close ally.
Oh, my God.
In Germany, mandatory school attendance dates back to 1717 when it was introduced in Prussia, and the policy has traditionally been viewed as a social good. The law protects children, says Josef Kraus, president of the German Teachers Association.
Edelweiss.
That's right.
We will screw you too. Yeah, whatever.
In 2007, Germany's Federal Supreme Court issued a ruling which did not specifically involve the Romaikis that parents could lose custody of their children if they continued to homeschool them.
That is such a bunch of crap.
Anyway, we don't offend the Germans, though.
No, we're a kinder, gentler, hopeful, hopey, changey.
No parental cupper, and here's what the German Teachers Association guy, no parental couple can offer a breadth of education that can replace experienced teachers. Kids also lose contact with their peers. And in Britain, for example, Parliament is considering legislation that would create a new monitoring system to ensure that homeschooled kids get a suitable education. Mm-hmm. Yes, well... So in Sweden, where parents have to apply for permission to teach their kids at home, I mean, the education system, it brings up something, as we said before. It is stunning to me when you realize that governments, the only way governments can compete are one of two ways. Either they offer the service that the market would offer at a price. They offer it for, quote, free. And education is that. So, you don't have to go to the school. You have to pay for it and everything. But you can go to a public school. Or alternately, they outlaw, as they do in Germany, and they outlaw the competition. It is stunning to me when you realize that competition is what makes everything possible. It's what provides you with the best goods at the lowest price.
Well, they only see the negative part of the competition. I mean, I remember talking to a liberal friend of mine 20 years ago, and she wanted to open a coffee shop, and she said, "Well, I don't want to put the other coffee shops out of business. I just want to have my coffee shop."
Right.
And I said, "Well, you have to compete with them." And she's like, "No, I don't want to compete. I don't want to hurt the other people. She didn't want to put the other guys out of business. She didn't want to do anything negative.
How about expanding?
Do no harm.
Yeah, yeah, right, how right. about expanding yeah. the market?
Well, what she couldn't see was the extra benefit that she would have been adding to the entire community
right.
by putting those people out of business.
Right. They should be doing something else.
Exactly. If yeah. they can't do it as well as she can, then they need to be doing something else.
Exactly.
No, what she saw was this ethereal concept of owning a coffee shop and being a barista and talking to people
right.
and doing all these things, but she didn't want to hurt anybody else
right.
in the process. But she wanted this, you know, this
and
sort
this
of ethereal.
This is the entire Obama administration,
absolutely.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
This is they don't want to hurt anybody. They want to give you what you ask for. They don't want to be the guys who are closing the blast doors with the freaking half the ship is flooding. And if you don't cut off all the people in the engine room, the entire ship goes down. And they don't understand that sometimes the decision's got to be made. And the way it gets
those
made.
Those aren't blast doors. Those are the watertight compartment doors.
Well, right, if Eric came out to visit, I'd give him a tour of the blast doors.
I was mixing my metaphors.
Not adding a waterboard treatment.
Yeah.
You know?
I was in three different galaxies during that.
I can see that.
Very nice.
Aren't we all? True multitasking.
That's multidimensional right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I started off at Battlestar Galactica. I went through Star Wars and then 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
That's it.
So, but the point.
Always a classic.
The point is, sometimes you got to make those decisions, and that's what businesses do. Somebody in the business has to be the axe man, and it's a hard job, and nobody wants that job. And in government, you don't have to have that guy.
No,
you just add on.
You just add on,
and,
right.
And so that's the thing is that it sort of fights against the human nature that's sort of built into nature, and
yeah, competition.
Yeah
competition. Well, competition is. Like you say, it's a talk about a fundamental something or another. That's his. Your whole body is competing.
It's
I mean, everything
there.
Competes.
Entropy is happening.
Yeah.
Entropy happens to all of us,
yeah.
and you
wow.
got to fight against it.
That's yep. pretty heavy stuff
that's
right
that's
there.
Heavy.
You start bringing
okay.
up
yeah.
entropy and
you
stuff.
Just lost Jimmy here.
My house is a den of entropy, actually.
A den of entropy. So you got to fight for it.
Well,
and we're all the individuals do.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is that, as I say, there is competition in something. Food is fairly essential. There's competition. I mean, nobody, Publix doesn't come by here and arrest me or anything like that. And for some reason, education is considered not suitable for competition.
Well, I've explored the limits of this in a couple of conversations, and you get both sides of it. People will say, well, if you have a really important thing, then you should give it to the people because we don't want people to be wanting for this very important thing like food or housing or whatever. And then you have other people who will say just the opposite. Well, if it's you know a really important thing, then you want people to have to. Let's see. Wait a minute. How does it go?
Ooh, we lost ourselves.
Yeah, I got right.
Oh my God.
It was.
Well, the fact is that competition breeds the lowest price at the highest quality always across the board. So if you disallow competition one way or the other, either you subsidize a certain group of people so that you can't compete. In other words, it's unprofitable in many instances to open up. For instance, a school, because you have to charge more money than the quote free school, and then of course you look at here locally, for instance, the dropout rate is 25%. I mean, 25% of people don't make it to graduation. In the minority community here, it's 50%, and when you realize that upwards of 60% of the 10th graders in this community either read below or illiterate grade level, not even at grade level. At below or illiterate, there's two, and as we speak, they're taking the test. We're going to find out about that later.
You know what I find fascinating. It's either Denmark or the Netherlands. Maybe both. I'm not quite sure which, but they have a voucher program. So
they give
money to folks with kids. And they have a choice.
Total choice.
They can actually take they can direct their children to a school that they want to send them to.
John,
because it's not public education as much as it's private education. They get a voucher, so you can choose the school you want to send your child to.
Well, and we
they did it. John Stossel did a thing on that. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. He did. He was the one that brought that up in it. And when they get where this came about was they gave a test, a general knowledge test. I don't know what it was. It was high schoolers or whatever. It's general knowledge test, and the U.S. people got, you know, like 12 grades between 12% and 25%.
Yeah, they suck.
And the exact same test was like 80% and 90% and 100% for the people in the Netherlands. And so they went to find out what the differences were. And just as you said, Stitch, the difference was one thing and one thing only. They could choose their school, and they competed like crazy, and they interviewed the teachers and the students, and they all loved it. I mean, that was the thing. Here, when you ask a student, gosh, would you like to bounce out of bed today and go to school? I mean, the idea is, you know, could you put a fork
not
in my eye instead?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, you even see that, though, in real estate marketing, where they are trying to get you into a particular school district.
Yeah.
You know, and they advertise that, you know, that school district because it's a good school district, and that's why you move there. You want to live in that school district because, you know, as, you know, parents, you want the best for your children. So when you move to a new location, you find out what's the best school district and you move there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, there's some competition. There's, you know, a bit of competition there, but for the most part, you know,
well,
not quite the same as what, you know, no. The Netherlands does.
You're going
or Denmark,
the pig, Westmoreland.
Yeah. You know, where you say, look, you can go to whatever school you want. We give you vouchers, and then you just take those vouchers and give them to the school, and life is good. Which, that's, you know, that's competition there.
Well, it's closer, but what we've projected would happen in that situation
here
is,
in the States.
Right, is very soon the people who give out the vouchers
are going to attach some rather significant strings.
Oh,
exactly.
Absolutely. No, I know that. That's the
and
way
then, and then the vouchers are
work.
Only good for X schools that meet with their criteria,
that's
and then
right.
they're buttoning
that
those in.
That has got to be the most ridiculous load of pig crap I have ever seen.
Thanks to K-Man on that one.
the bottom line is that the school system, and I know this sounds heretical to some people, but the what they call the government-run school system should literally just be abolished. I mean, they should just sell it off, totally private.
Yeah, and if it's worth anything, sell it.
And the way I look at it is, though, as I've said this many times before, you don't have to know much about the system when you understand that if you don't send your kids to a school, they can come and arrest you. They take you away and put you in jail, and they take your kids and put them in foster homes, and they go to school anyway. And they do this with a gun. I mean,
yep.
So the question is, if it's such a great thing, why do you need this absolutely?
Well, because
this is not a hidden threat. This is a truant officer.
Those particular parents are either ignorant of their kids' needs, or that's the way they look at it. It's an us and them thing. It's every liberal who advocates that policy, I guarantee you, will say that they don't need the government coming by and taking their kids to school.
It's the other people they're worried about.
Right, exactly.
Well, then of course you go and you watch our local government channel here, and you watch our school, our actual school board in operation, and you realize the people that got elected, I mean, I'm not sure they graduated from anything.
No, probably not.
I mean, they're really, you know, Mark Twain, I think it was said that for God invented idiots for practice, and then to perfect it was school boards, mm-hmm. and that is so true in this town. I tell you, they are. It is embarrassing to watch the school board meetings here. If you were an alien and showed up here, you would be speechless. Your mouth would fall up. You say, "What these people? What are these people doing?"
So, you know, I have several good friends of mine that were homeschooled, and that was somewhat of a revolutionary idea at the time when they were, you know, given the fact that I'm an old goat, but. They are some of the coolest, most erudite and
with it.
Yeah, they are. You know, they're with it.
Yep.
And they're very,
know,
very smart people, and you know, they're
pretty
just,
kooky
they're super
homeschool
people.
Kids.
Because what they did was, you know, I well, in particular, one friend of mine who their parents homeschooled, and they took them on a tour of the world, basically, with a sailboat. They sailed around the world. They homeschooled them, and they sailed around the world.
Yeah, my nephew did that, too, and he turned out, unfortunately, crazy.
Yeah, well,
that,
you know, that's...
That does happen. But, I mean, that's better than the... Than the 30% criminal element that graduates from the...
Yeah, exactly. No, no.
The murderers, thieves, and rapists that graduate, they graduate from our system here. So, no, it's just, it's stunning to think that the system is based on a military, you know, goose-stepping, basic Prussian, 1717, whatever it is.
Siegeil!
Siegeil, that's right. And it's still the same method of teaching. Is what's been around for 200 or 300 years, and you don't have to do it. It also tells you a lot when you realize that the real prophet in school, a lot of the prophet in school, is like Kaplan and some of these other people that have these tests for.
Well, there's going to be a boom and all that kind of
stuff. Oh yeah, no question. It's like the walk-in. It's like the walk-in little Doc in the Boxes place.
Man, you know, I actually got a client from Kaplan.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so somebody.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but it was hilarious because she was like, "Can you teach me how to do web design, you know, real quick? Because I got to pass this class."
Ah.
I was like, "Okay, do you want to know how to do it, or do you want me to take the test for you?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "No, no, just take all the tests for me and give me my stuff." And I said, "No problem. You know, as long as you pay me, I mean, I'll be happy to like pass all your stuff."
Well, as we speak,
there you are, enabling bad behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad. I got paid.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know.
That is
that's free market right there,
hey, man,
brother.
That's right.
Free
that's
market.
Dying,
well, I the thing is that as we speak this week, for the next week, all of the students here in Florida are taking the FCAT, the Florida Comprehensive Assessment Test, or whatever it is.
The FCAT.
The FCAT they call it. That's right. The fat cat. Whatever. And they a lot of things will happen with this, and it's all K through 12 gets to take this thing this week. And of course, for the last 2 months, there's been nothing taught in the schools except how to pass this FCAT.
Right.
And it'll be interesting because the report comes out usually in August. And once again, I have no doubt that the failure rate will be anywhere from 50% to 60%. That'll be a failure rate, but they'll be putting the lipstick on the pig and saying, well, it was 1% better than last year or whatever. We're doing better now.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, there's money involved, you know, federal money and everything like
that. We slowed the decline from last year.
Right, exactly.
Can we post the FCAT on the Jimmy Dunn site?
Yes, we could.
Put a link to it.
What was the wait a minute, go back. What was the thing I was?
It was the goose stepping.
No. What was the thing I said?
Pakistan border.
Oh, yes. Are you the one that sent me the link to that Stitch?
I don't know.
He may have
a long time ago.
No. This is like two days.
You sent it back out, but I'd sent it out earlier. I thought.
No, this was like 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah. Well, he's stitching it out first. Trust me.
Okay.
I had it first.
This was the one where the John Cleese silly walks.
Yeah, no, it's top notch.
Have to put a link. We have to put a link to that.
I mentioned that earlier.
I know you did. I'm chiming in because one of the things that when I was watching this, I literally was laughing. I had milk coming out of my nose. I was laughing.
And you weren't even drinking milk.
And I wasn't even drinking milk.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
I'm telling you.
You have mammary glands in your sinuses.
I thought these guys, you think about it, we're talking about competition, right? So you have the Indians. The Indians on one side of these gilded gates.
Nobody will believe the story until you see the video.
The Indians who have a nuclear power.
Right, and the Pakistanis also have a nuclear power. And they've got these giant, you know, 40-foot wide gates that they close the border every night, and then I guess they open it up again every morning.
Stupid.
And they have, and these gates are like, you know, 2 or 3 feet apart. So they have on one side, on the Pakistani side, they have this huge ceremony, this military type ceremony.
Like a flag raising ceremony.
Like a flag raising, only because there's gate closing. And on the India side, they have the same thing. Well, obviously, this is like the Bowerbirds or the Birds of Paradise.
Closing.
Plus the famous Monty Python silly walk. And I mean, John Cleese must look at this and say, We could have even done a better show.
He got his idea from.
He must have. Yeah. And because the silly walk, I mean, it's literally like the same.
But the costumes are like right out of the birds of paradise. You know those birds of paradise that dance around and show their feathers? And
yeah.
I mean, peacocks pale in comparison to the costumes these guys have.
Remember, both were trained by the British. So that's a British marching
but
style.
But I'm saying that they have taken this to a level. I mean, I didn't believe... I could not believe that you could kick a foot higher than the combined length of both legs.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What I think is funny is that...
That's what yoga's good for, man.
I'm telling you, these guys do splits. Yeah, they kick their feet so high, they're doing splits. And then the
you
twisties...
You can see your own butthole.
No,
stomping
I mean,
and stuff.
Then, I mean, they've got to... You've got to... These people are especially...
Your own butthole.
No question. But not only do they get to do that... And the twists, they've got it, most of them are like double jointed or something. They're like totally disconnected, and they make gymnasts look like old sluggy people.
Right.
And then the costumes.
They take
you laugh when you look at like the old Roman costumes from the Victor Mature movies where they got the little feather thing on the top of the these guys have got these remind me not so much as the carry the boom boxes around and have the old spiky colored hair. What do they call those guys?
Fuck ups.
Punk.
No, it was like they had a name for the.
Oh,
it wasn't
God.
Skinheads, but it was the people that used to. You see them on. It was the
punk
guy.
Punk rockers.
Yeah, punk rocker. That's
there
it.
You
yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I was close.
Yeah, the punk rockers.
All right, 2 points for Stitch.
That's it. And I mean, these people make the punk rockers look like Madison Avenue executives.
I thought they kind of looked like Stitch said, kind of an old British style, Lawrence of Arabia style guy, sort of slammed together with an American Indian.
I mean, look at their mustaches. That is a British, old-school mustache, man.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that all those people are sober and do that.
Well, I mean, but what I'm saying is these are two nuclear powers, that are doing this, and they obviously look at each other across.
Well, we're black on the left side, and they're black on the right side.
But I'm saying is they look
classic
across the border,
Star Trek there.
And they see this. It's like a breakdancing. They see a new step.
Right.
Obviously, this is some kind of Darwinian evolution that occurs on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so it's got to be. You can't wait to see what the next evolution of this thing looks like. I mean, how.
There'll be a show.
I'll bet you there's not been an evolution in this for a long time. Stitch, how long is this ceremony going on?
When the Brits were there, before they, I think they adopted it when they split Pakistan off for the Muslims and the India for the Hindus.
Right, but that's been in our lifetime.
Yeah, no, it has been, yeah.
I mean, that's not all that long ago.
No.
But I can't believe they started this ceremony that crazy as they do it now. Just no way.
It's pretty cool. I think it's just a show.
You think?
Yeah, well, what I find most fascinating is that both the Pakistanis and the Indians. Okay. Both the Pakistanis and the Indians, at some point, they actually do the same maneuvers.
Yeah.
At the same time, which I actually think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, the mustaches, man, they rock.
Oh, I mean, you got to believe.
Dwayne Allman's got nothing on them.
No, it reminds me a little bit of the Chinese empress that grow their fingernails out to 14 feet.
I lost Eric.
Yeah, you did. You lost Eric.
He'll be back.
What's next on the list there? Anybody in particular? Other than do you want to do the quickie Hugo update?
Oh, do the Hugo update only because I love the Hugo intro.
Yeah, baby.
Hugo.
Chavez.
Hugo.
Hugo.
For those of you watching for the first time, we have a regular collection since Hugo took over Venezuela of Hugo updates because the place is obviously going to tank totally.
Yeah, third world shithole.
Utopia.
But I love the utopia. Here's the socialist utopia. Venezuela economy shrank last year, 3.3%.
That's impossible.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, it shrank 3% as the country's key oil industry suffered a downturn, dragging the nation into recession for the first time all the way since 2003. Whoa, 6 years. Okay, 7 years. 6 years. A 7.2% decline in the oil sector, biggest impact, because they get 94% of their money from oil, of their export earnings. But what I love about this is last year's economic contraction coincided with inflation of 25%.
Nice.
The highest official inflation rate in Latin America, putting it in Venezuela in a situation that analysts call stagflation. Now, what we love about this, of course, is that we've projected that they're going to go to hyperinflation. And the idea was when. And I would have to go back and take a look. It's been a year, 2 years, I guess.
I think we gave him about 2 years.
If you're a Jimmy Dunn listener, if you want to go back and find the exact date that we talked about that, we will give you something off the Jimmy Junk shelf over here.
I think you should put a link to it.
Well, there's actually
We do have the Gene, of course, sent us, the Jimmy Dunn coffee mugs.
Yes.
And we have two of them, two coffee mug kits.
Left.
Two coffee mugs.
They have not been teabagged.
I want you guys to know that I, in fact, have a Jimmy Dunn mug.
Oh. And you're not alone. We sent a couple of
them. And mine is certified non-teabagged.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you guys made it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they made it.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
But I have some Hanger Dogs coffee mugs, but God knows if Pinky
Pinky could have done it.
Every time I take a sip of coffee, it's like, it's a question.
A little taste of Pinky.
Could be a little Pinky in that cup,
little bit of
extra anyway, these have the handles that seem to have been separated temporarily from the cup. So a little super glue, and you can have a Jimmy Dunn cup. Okay.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Broke one?
Huh?
Oh, no, I know.
I'm
with you.
We can
took apart, I think.
We can have Lisa rub it on our boobs and
disassemble
it off that way. Yeah.
Dude, that would be awesome. What would you call that, a boob bag?
Yeah, I guess so.
A little Lisa boob bag and then, $50 for a Jimmy Dunn
coffee mug.
That's been boob. Is the Lisa boob bagged?
Probably even 20 or 30 bucks.
Okay, it's downhill from here. Is that right? We can only go uphill from here. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm glad to contribute.
And you're doing well. Now, you're one of our firearms experts. All to some extent. So the other thing that we wanted to do real quick here and get the counselor in on this was the Chicago thing that was argued this week. The Washington, D.C. gun ban was overturned, but because Washington, D.C. is a federal protectorate or whatever, not really a state, doesn't apply to the states. So now they've argued the Chicago handgun is apparently, they've read the tea leaves here, so to speak, during the arguments, the oral arguments that occurred earlier, either the last week or whenever it was, just recently, in the last 10 days, and have decided that this is the Chicago gun ban will be overturned.
Yeah, I think it will be. I mean, if they did it for Washington, D.C.
It's a no-brainer. But it'd be interesting because there still might be a 5-4 or 6-3 decision. That is to say there are still some Supreme Court justices that say, nah, you can ban the hell out of them. We don't care about the Second Amendment. But it's interesting to see. I'm reading here the article because the big question is what they don't understand is, does it apply outside your house? That is, can you say it's okay to have a firearm in your house, but not outside your house? And we don't know yet. So,
like a concealed carry type of thing?
Right. Well, it turns out, of course, a lot of states, you don't even have to hardly get permission. I mean, you can...
There are some you don't.
There's some you can just walk out the door as long as it's unconcealed.
You do pass a...
Well, they say here...
Still the background check.
Yeah, right.
But the background check, I think, is federal anyway for buying any handgun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after that, there's some states you can just walk outdoors as long as it's not concealed.
Yeah.
Right.
Concealed requires a permit. Yep. So,
yep.
So anyway, what other forms of gun control could be vulnerable since the Second Amendment protects the right to bear arms, that
right.
is, as well as the right to keep them? Restrictions on carrying guns in public are a ripe target. So, district officials predictably warned that chaos would result.
Chaos, I'm telling
would ensue
you.
From allowing law-abiding people to carry guns in public.
Yeah, right.
Because you never know what happened.
People.
Those law-abiding citizens might become unlaw-abiding citizens.
Yeah, that could be.
What's interesting is they've done a study, they did some statistics, and they found out that in the places where you can carry a gun, crime went down.
Well, amazing, isn't it?
And it says, in the two decades since Florida started the trend towards liberalization, in fact, data from Florida, Texas, and Arkansas indicate that permit holders are far less likely to commit gun crimes or other offenses than the general population.
Yeah, if you ask the liberals, that what they'll say is something to the effect of, if you're a gun owner and you have a gun in your house, you're 6 times more likely to be a victim of suicide and 3 times more likely to have some sort of accident happen or some BS.
Yep.
It's
all about the children. Well, you know, even in your own home, you have to have...
That or the polar bear is one of the two.
The polar bear children.
It'll be interesting to see. Here's the thing. They're probably going to overturn, they're going to certainly overturn the Chicago thing. The question is, then what are they going to say?
Well, what usually happens, and you were right, you were talking about this earlier, is the judges sometimes softball them a little. They'll throw out a little speculation as to what they might have ruled differently on if the legislature had done X differently, they might have ruled differently or something like that. But not always. It just really depends on how they feel, the individuals involved, and what they're going to do. Sometimes they'll just say, overturn, done.
Well, the other thing is, of course, then the question is, in Chicago, my question is, until the legislature gets back into session, what can you do? Can you run up there real quick and get yourself a machine gun and stuff? No, that's federal law.
It's just whatever this ban was. So this is a recent ban.
It's so. Handguns, I think.
Some kind of handgun.
It might have been all guns. I don't know. But anyway, so.
That's great. I mean, Chicago, of all places, where people don't care if you have a ban or not.
Right. Right. You mentioned the Tommy gun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Made it famous.
Al Capone, you know.
Yeah, they're a model
Chicago.
Society right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicago,
yeah,
Chicago.
Okay, so what's next? I've got some. Do you have any light notes before we get on here? I've got a bunch of stuff here, and I know we're running out of time.
Well, I would do the important stuff because light notes are filler.
Well, thanks a lot, Stitch. I appreciate that, man.
And entertainment.
That's right. We don't want to do any entertainment here.
No, hell no.
No, this is not an entertaining podcast. This is an informative podcast.
Well, here's okay.
We're 44. We got another 15 minutes to go.
Okay.
New
formula gives fresh look to U.S. poverty. This is one of the things I always like about government.
When you
don't like the outcome, you change the rules, okay?
Right, yeah, sure. So or the outcome.
That's right. Now, we're going to change the rules. We're going to redefine poverty. So they've come up with a new measure, and it turns out, I know this is a shocker. It's going to make for the official statistics now will be for more poverty. And, of course, that's going to mean more money for poverty, supposedly. So anyway, it turns out that they're a little chicken to actually replace.
Yeah, that was good. That was prescient right there.
Preempted Jimmy.
Yeah, that was awesome. Effect.
That's what I do. I jump in when I can.
Hey, man, I stole the hanger dog chicken.
That's okay. They're not used it, for God's sake.
No,
we suck.
That's it. So we have to go back to their old podcast for material.
Hell yeah.
I tried to download
like
all
two
of them.
Years ago for crying out loud.
Yep.
Anyway, they had this. They're not going to replace the traditional definition of poverty, which is like 30 years old. They're going to have a brand new one. And what you do, it's kind of like the alternate minimum tax. You get to compute the poverty level on one way, the old way, and then you get to do it the new way. And you kind of take your pick as to which one you want. And the new one's going to take into account food stamps.
Yeah.
And
take your prick? Is that what you
I
said?
Heard that.
Yeah, I know. Porn star Lisa over here came up with that.
That's my name.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Studio Babe Lisa, whatever your name is. It's fine.
The way poverty is defined is at once arcane and politically volatile. The nation's economic self. I love this. The nation's economic self-image. I mean, what are you talking about? I'm so worried about the nation's economic self-images. If there's one. Anyway, I just love the fact that they're going to redo this. The federal officials have not yet tried to calculate whether or not the new definition will increase or decrease the number of Americans who qualify as poor. Although there's another study that said for sure they've already tried it in New York. And they found out that
what else could it do?
No.
I mean, have you seen the new ads for the census? We can't go forward until you mail it back.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is,
it turns out that
the census
progress is going to stop if the government can't count everybody here. Because how are you going to get your benefits?
Hey, we can't sell a mander unless you tell us what you're thinking.
Well, they said that what they're going to do, the formula is to be used by the government for the first time next year in an annual Census Bureau report that includes the poverty rate. So that's, the census is going to, well, you know, there's several YouTube things about what you have to tell or what you might want to tell or not tell the census fellow when they show up on your front doorstep.
I think I sent you one of those.
There was a pretty dramatic one about, like, you know.
Slam the door, screw you.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to tell them your race or anything, I don't think.
Nope.
Just one person lives here, and then, of course, then I suppose that the SWAT team shows up with the battering ram.
Yeah, I'm willing to take that on.
They do two
you
or three.
You are.
No, they do two or three things.
What?
I mean, Stitch is a secret ninja kind of guy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll show up my front door, and I'll be out the back door. That's the way ninjas work.
Speaking of that, that's the one thing that I don't like about Jimmy's hovel here is I don't have a back door.
Oh, get that window open or something.
Well, no, this window here is going to be changed. Here, I've got it here in the studio. That's going to be our back door.
To an ejector seat.
To an ejector seat, that's right.
You don't need that, man. Just open a window.
Okay, well, here's some of the other things I've got. I've got Barney Frank is in the news. He's talking about warns of Fannie and Freddie risks. And apparently,
he's an expert on that.
Yeah, well, he's changed his tune. But what I love about this, he says, well, there's no guarantee that the government's going to pick up Fannie and Freddie, except we will.
That's
basically what it says. I mean,
other than that, I'm Barney Frank. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, no, I mean, just that's funny. Postal Service is going to cut back.
I love this. The Postal Service, the shining example of government working side by side with the free market with FedEx and UPS, right?
Yep.
This was their big example for healthcare. The idea was, the post office, what a brilliant system. It's awesome.
Let's all get along.
Right.
Can we all get along?
It works great, so why not we just have a nice public health system that works side by side.
Yeah, well, 47 cents.
One of the ways they
40. All I can say is 47 cents.
I have always said that they, you know,
that's a new raise.
If they would sell this off, they could make money and provide a valuable service. The problem is they're constrained by government. It's always, you know, saying you can't do this and you can't do normal business practices would make it profitable and they could do well.
Yeah, you can't even run over a mailbox without it being a felony anymore.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, do you realize that all your mailboxes have to be approved by the postmaster?
Yeah,
general?
They do.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, no, for years, seriously.
Mine, if you just pull the boob down, you can put the mail in there.
No, but those are approved.
Sweet.
Those are approved now.
Oh, yeah. Boob
approved.
They didn't used to be. As expected, the letter carriers unions and so forth are upset because one of the ways they're planning
up in arms. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, they're up in arms. They're going postal.
They want to
eliminate Saturday. They're thinking about eliminating Saturday deliveries, which would take an act of Congress.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say eliminating Saturdays.
Well, that too. But I don't know.
We're not going to eliminate delivery on Saturday. We're just going to eliminate Saturday altogether.
Exactly. That's right. Well,
I think the Seventh Day Adventist and the Jewish population would have a little something to say about that. Yeah.
But, boy, they.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Okay. Good. And so anyway, the thing is that some wag said, well, what they ought to do is to eliminate service on Mondays, because they take most of them off anyway. Of course, so they want to get paid for those, you know, because it's a holiday anyways, you know, some 10 times a year or something.
Yeah, well, all they're doing is delivering me bills, so I don't care if they take a day off, you know what I mean?
Well, I get actually, because I'm an eBay fanatic, of course, I get presents almost every day. I get my winnings.
I slipped.
I had to recalibrate.
So anyway, they're talking about first-class letters from 1 to 3 to 2 to 5 days. They're talking about the, of course, the United. It's been around since Franklin, of course, and it's one of the things that
really first-class letters move the time.
Yeah, they move the time. That's right. Don't worry about that. Okay,
we're just gonna change time of the universe.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, a little temporal displacement there. Rove admits to error on Iraq as Bush strategist. This reminds me of when McNamara, 30 years after the Vietnam War, says, you know, we knew in 1964 you know, we were going to lose it, but...
I love Vietnam.
Yeah, we were screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, he knew it, and they still went with 500,000 people. Okay, we knew we were going to lose. Rove says he admits to error, but we still should have invaded Iraq. I don't care about WMDs, you know, sorry, should have... No problem.
By the way, I just watched Bat 21 the other day with Gene Hackman.
Yeah, good movie.
Man, that is one of the best movies I've ever seen in my whole life.
Which one? Yeah. What is this?
Bat 21.
Yeah.
It's a Vietnam movie about, it's a true story, you know, it's about a guy who was a missile defense guy who, like, you know, had a lot of intel, and he got, you know, he's up there, and he's flying around, and he gets shot down, and then he's a high priority target, you know. And they're trying to get him back. And Danny Glover's like flying around in a little O2, you know. He's like, you know, the push-pull, you know, Cessna.
Right.
Which is one of my favorite planes of all time, actually, because it's got two engines and it's in line. But anyway, so he's like flying around, like keeping him company. But it's like, you know, they're trying to get the guy out. But it's like, you know, I don't know. You got to see it, man. Bat 21 with Gene Hackman and Danny Glover.
Anything with Gene Hackman is
good. Yeah, Gene Hackman is so really good.
No, it's a good movie. No.
It's a really good movie. I was blown away. It was on the other night, too. Check it out.
Speaking of movies, I guess the Academy Awards were won by people.
Yes.
And I saw where the Hurt Locker, I watched that one. Did you see the Hurt Locker, Stitch?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's you probably enjoy it. It's
although, you know, I have EOD friends of mine that kind of laugh at that stuff. So
I was going to say, is it difficult for you to watch military movies as it is for me to watch legal movies?
Legal movies, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, they said that this one, you know, they said that what's
all true.
Well,
I'll tell you, there was like one movie that I thought was, you know, Black Hawk Down is the only movie that I've seen so far that was actually representative of.
Really nailed it, huh?
And Bat 21.
Yeah.
How about Behind Enemy Lines?
Bat 21, but it's okay.
How about Behind Enemy Lines?
No.
Full Metal Jacket.
Wait a minute, no. Wait a minute. You're forgetting the
Apocalypse Now.
God damn it, pal, get off my obstacle. Get off my obstacle now, pal.
Well, you're forgetting the Tom Cruise one.
Oh God, Top Gun?
Tom Cruise sucks ass.
Yeah, dude, that's
real, isn't it? That was a documentary.
Oh my God.
Wasn't that documentary? Yeah.
Right. All right, talk to me, Goose.
Okay.
Yeah, talk to me, Goose. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I love the part where the guy was like 80 miles away, went to Mach 2 and was there in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, no, you know, thinking, it works pretty
it's
good.
It's a little continuity problem here.
You get from Tampa Airspace to Gainesville Airspace in like 15 minutes at like, you
this
know.
This was 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
You don't go Mach 2 when you're freaking fighting. For crying out loud.
Well, he had to go there. He had to dash. Anyway, the whole thing. When you only have to watch the movie about once to realize that there's a continuity problem. Okay.
I was wanting to buy a cool Mach 2 fighter and come in and speak in Czechoslovakia.
They were for sale.
I know. But you know, you get like a MiG 21 or a F-106 or something. You come screaming in over the Gulf and you start talking, and see how fast it takes you to get some company.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you'd be home by the time the company showed up.
You probably would be, actually.
Yeah, no, yeah. They don't anticipate that kind of buffoonery.
No, well, exactly. Not from Engineer Eric.
No. They,
yeah, he's kind of an anomaly, lasting Donald Duck.
Nobody, no.
Who the hell would ever do that piece of shit? You know?
Okay, well, so anyway.
Nobody expects the Engineer Eric.
Until it's too late.
I see where the Federal Reserve is going to be made up of some more Obama reps, and he's going to appoint the Keynesians.
So we're all saved.
We're all saved because we own gold.
Oh,
in good
God.
Shape about that. I saw where the United States considers a brake override system. You know, you saw where Toyota, of course, was hauled up in front of the
man. I thought they were going to indict that guy.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know.
I seriously didn't.
I mean, can you imagine? They dragged the owners, the president of Toyota in there, you know, just nailed
they're
it. And
they
had to do
the
apology, crying, apology and everything like that. And then, of course, you know, so Toyota sales plummet. Gosh, I wonder if this is good for General Motors.
Yeah.
So now, of course, barn door closing, horse gone. They said the U.S. considers a mandatory brake override system. This is where you step on the brake and the gas at the same time, and it shuts off or something. But it turns out the cars already have it. The market's already figured it out. I didn't realize this, but it's called a smart pedal. It's already installed on automobiles sold worldwide, including from models from BMW, Chrysler, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, and Volkswagen. And so it, you know, they're saying safety took a second seat to profits. And, of course, Rockefeller was on both sides of this because he was the one that made sure the Toyota plant got into West Virginia. And, you know, so he had to go back. And you know, it's just interesting. Through February, the National Highway Transportation Safety Association had received 43 complaints. A fatal accident.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
More cowbell, baby.
That is, you saw my T-shirt. I got a more cowbell T-shirt. 43 complaints of fatal accidents that involved unintended acceleration since 2000. 10 years, they've had 43 complaints, and the Transportation Department said this department had not confirmed the complaints, which cover 52 deaths and 38 injuries. Three-quarters of the episodes were reported to the safety agency in the last 4 months. Now, this brings up another thing, and this is a book. See if I've got it here. This is a must-read book from 1991, and I think you can order it. Well, we don't get any money for it. But this Parliament of Horrors by
P.J. O'Rourke.
P.J. O'Rourke. And he talks about the National Safety, whatever it is, Transportation Agency, and about actually their pretty good operation. And it's interesting because this is, when you talk about this here, the 43 complaints and three quarters of the episodes were reported. The same thing happened with the Audi in the late 80s. They had an acceleration problem. And so it turned out that as soon as they announced that there might be a problem, the complaints flooded in. Everybody wanted their piece of the action. So here we are. You've got a couple of complaints in 9 years, and suddenly, after it's announced that there's a problem, all the complaints flood in, and it's
class action suit.
Well, but I mean, 43 complaints. Now, I have to understand,
43.
How many Toyotas have been
millions and millions of Toyotas
sold, and just trillions of miles driven,
right.
And 43. Okay,
right.
There are 45,000 deaths a year on the
highway.
Right,
I was just going to say. Yeah, I mean, tens of thousands of those cars are smashed to a pulp right now because of operator error or, you know, anything. Buttery fingers.
Drunk driving.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right. Texting.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, spilled coffee.
Right.
You know,
right.
Two tacos and driving with your knees, you know,
right.
Whatever. So,
hey, now.
Electric sauce and that steering wheel there.
That's right. A little,
Shush, it's a little oily.
So anyway, what I'm saying is it's so funny that Congress has decided, you know, after barn door, horse.
They're saving us, Jimmy.
They're saving us. That's right. 43 people. Oh, boy, I'll tell you.
We're here for you, brother.
There are.
Get all these dang Toyotas out of here.
That's it. That's right. Go buy a GM.
Right.
No, but what I love about this is that there are, I don't know what the number is, but there's 320 million people in the United States. I'm guessing that 4 to 5 million people, like, die every year. You know, natural attrition, cancer, heart attack, old age, whatever. You know, fall on a broom, slip on a rock. 1% of the population.
Yeah,
1%
exactly.
Of the population.
Yeah, you got to figure, because humans live about 100 years.
You got to figure a little more. 1.5% of the population.
Right.
4.5 million people. Okay, 43 of them in 10 years. 4.3. Wait a minute. 4.3 people.
1/100,000th of the.
Doesn't even rise to the level of a rounding error.
Right.
Okay, gridlock may be ending on that's no good. Okay. Closing of rest stops stirs anger in Arizona. That's just another budget thing. This one I did like.
I love how Jimmy just like, hey, man, we're going to cut right to the chase. This is another thing. Bye-bye. In case you had a problem with this, it's just another budget.
You see this? I had yellow lined quite a bit.
It looks like all yellow. Right.
No, I've
got 43 lines in there. There's more yellow on there than there actually is white.
D.C. Council votes to restore Barry. Votes to censure Barry,
right.
Strip him of chairmanship. Now, this is Mayor Marion Barry, Barry.
Crack me.
No, but what's funny about this, of course, is they talk about it in here. I love this part.
His
40 years of service.
Uh-huh.
You are looking at a man who has given 40 years of service to the city. Okay. So anyway, he's entitled to mistakes.
Well, what I loved was his appeals to his colleagues.
Yeah.
Didn't have anything to do with the merits. It was all, I've known you for 35 years.
Yeah,
I've known you
since
7.
Yeah, well.
I know I'm a crackhead, man. What the hell?
Well, but I love this. It was a different.
Give it up, brother.
It was a different scene Tuesday night when Barry arrived at Matthews Memorial Baptist Church in Ward 8.
Always a crowd pleaser.
Where he sat in a chair in front of several hundred people, and Bishop C. Matthew Hudson called on other pastors to anoint him.
Yeah.
With oil and lay hands on him.
Yeah, well, he needs that.
Several of Ward 8 residents who attended and said that despite the accusations and the council's actions, they still stand behind Barry. Most pointed to his service that he helped the old and the young.
Bend over.
Pinky.
Pinky.
Everyone's entitled to mistakes. He made sure all the youth had jobs, summer jobs. And I love this. And this is the last line, as always. Often called the mayor for life, Barry spoke of his legacy and the fairness of judging in the entirety of his service, not just parts of it. I have no intentions of going anywhere, he said to applause. They may take my committee chair, but they can't take my dignity. So that's like he has it.
Yeah, he's buried in dignity.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, next I've got here.
What a freaking moron.
Yeah. Okay, this is local stuff, but also it does apply to other people. Here, we're running out of tape.
It's intergalactic.
No, we got plenty of tape. I don't care. It's 103.
Here locally, bars here locally are told that ladies' night is discrimination.
And they said that
the 2-for-1 drinks to get the ladies drunk. You know, they try and get them drunk from 5 to 7 or 8 o'clock, and then the guys all show up.
Right.
And they buy full price for the ladies and themselves. No.
It always amazes me. This issue comes up.
I mean, the math is pretty damn simple on this.
Huh?
What now?
Math is pretty damn simple on this.
Yeah, no. It's no question about it.
This issue comes up about every 5 years, and it just always kills me that somebody's got enough time up there to spend their time shutting down other people's fun.
Yeah. And well, this is not for the children, and this is not for the old people. They said, I don't think it's going to affect.
Who's it for?
I'll tell you exactly what it's for. Just a minute now.
Can't even imagine.
Wait a minute. It's for the women who might get drunk and then be taken advantage of.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, nausea, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Hey.
All right.
Yeah, we should send that over to Peggy.
Yeah, right. Well, that's our mayor. Our mayor, Peggy. Well, she says most people voluntarily come into compliance. Of course, unsaid is, if not, there's a gun that will show up. And
When we start waving this gun around, most people start voluntarily coming into compliance.
You'd be surprised how quickly
they fall right in the line.
Well, she said, we want to be aware of the potential for unintended consequences on the girls. But of course, Jeff Bartholomew, general manager of the Swamp Bar, said more than likely they just drop all drink specials. I don't think it's going to affect people going out. It's just affect where they go. And, of course, there was a note of response to this that somebody wrote in and said, in that case, are senior citizen discounts to be banned? What about law enforcement and military discount? What about Ladies' Day at Jiffy Lube?
Ladies' Day at Jiffy Lube.
Wednesdays are Ladies' Day at Jiffy Lube.
It's all about
discrimination.
This kills me. And America's been doing this for a while, and I can't wait in another 50 years or so when we maybe get back to the real.
It ain't gonna be that long.
Well,
this whole thing's gonna collapse. It's gonna collapse like the Berlin Wall. You know, that was nobody saw it. It was somebody they called the CIA up on charges. You know, 2 months before the Berlin Wall.
I remember the very first indication was people running over the Hungarian border.
Right. And that was
let that fence go.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the next week, 30,000 people went to a vacation in that farm.
And it was like about a...
Right. And then what happened?
And then they ran over the freaking...
They just threw their hands up the wall. Okay, the other thing is... we don't have to talk about editorial. Florida's budget deficit, $3.2 billion. Now, this is an editorial. Our local Gainesville rag New York Times commie newspaper, New York, whatever it is, never saw a tax they didn't just love. And so they're saying here that the expediency dictates that still more cuts and no talk of new taxes. And they say that they should raise taxes. And, of course, my question is, with a 12.6% unemployment rate and the housing market tanking here more than a lot of places, where are they going to get the money from? I mean, who's going to be paying this?
They're coming for you, Jimmy.
So they want to change. They want to change our editor here thinks there's no secret that Florida's tax structure is a regressive, inequitable patchwork that favors the rich and special interests and penalizes the poor and low-income. Okay, next is editorial.
Go after the eBay guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, they want to do that, too.
Yeah,
They really want to do that. They're all upset because you can't tax the internet transactions. Okay, here locally, of course, we have the university, you know, in downtown practically, and the kids just walk across the street, and anybody that lives here knows that you drive at 1 mile an hour around the university, especially at lunchtime.
Speed limit's 20 for 5 square miles.
Yeah, right. But they have decided they need the money, so they issued 1,100 tickets to pedestrians and drivers who crept up on the crosswalks. They said not yielding to the pedestrians.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they said approximately 3 crashes a week involve a pedestrian. I don't know where they get that number from. Anyway, they've done this educational, but in April they're going to switch to enforcement. It's $52 if you caught jaywalking or encroaching even if the crosswalk is not painted right, it still counts. You're not allowed to do you. And then as soon as a pedestrian puts their foot on the pavement, the vehicle must stop on both sides. Drivers should stop 30 feet back from the pedestrian, not on top of them, and wait before moving until the person has crossed the street at least one lane beyond the lane where the vehicle is stopped. So, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, here around here, when you have literally 5,000 students crossing the street at the same time, And so you're trying to weave your way through. I mean, it's not unusual to miss a student by 10 or 20 feet. Not good enough.
Right.
30 feet.
Or even 3 or 4 inches.
Well, look, it doesn't happen here. I mean, this is bogus. It's about the money.
Yeah.
It's quite simply about the money.
Well, what would you say? There's like 190,000 tickets that were wrote last year about people having not their seatbelts on.
Yeah.
With no harm, no collision, no foul, nothing.
190,000. No, that was in 6 months.
Oh, 6 months.
Yeah.
190,000?
And those are $104 tickets.
Well, about 10 years ago, they eliminated...
Gotta make your money somewhere.
About 10 years ago, they eliminated the need for a safety concern in traffic violations. It used to be that you could argue that if you violated a traffic law or restriction, that you could argue that there was no harm, no foul.
Right.
You could say there was
mens rea or whatever it is.
Well, anyway, so it's like but now they said no. It doesn't matter if there's no cars on the road at all. You're the only car on the road. You switch lanes. You have to use your blinker.
Yep. This happened to me. I was driving through France one time on my way to Spain. I was like, I don't know, half a mile from the Spanish border, and I went over the double yellow line. I forget exactly why. They came out. The French came. Yeah, they came out and they stopped me. And of course, I'm sitting there saying, I don't speak any French.
No.
They didn't believe me, and for some reason, and they were going to take me in. And I said, look, I have no French money. I spent all my French money. I promise you, I'm going to go to the border. I'll get the money. And of course, and they said, no. We know you're going to go through the border. We'll never see you again. No. I promise. I swear to God. I swear. Zing! I was gone. I mean, through that board. Goodbye. See you. So long. But anyway, okay, the final thing that I have, and this is great. This is an editorial. We had a shooting here about 3 or 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
Yeah.
What happened was there was a film? This was a gunshot shooting.
Okay.
There was a student, a PhD student here from Ghana. He's had polio, walks with a cane.
Yeah, who cares?
He's getting a PhD student. Getting his PhD degree, and apparently he went...
In what?
A little nuts. Actually, it's in something...
Geography.
I don't think so.
That's what I read.
That's what Curtis read.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was in geology.
Well, the same thing.
Geography, same thing.
Geology,
okay, it's all the same.
Same thing.
Okay. So anyway, he started... He was in it. He barricaded himself in his...
I heard about his apartment on the campus.
Mm-hmm. He was campus housing. And apparently he started going a little nuts. He started screaming and, you know, railing and who knows what all. He'd gone a little, this according to the reports. Okay, so next door neighbor, whatever, calls the cops. And for an hour and a half, they tried to talk him out of the place. Didn't work. So what do?
They shoot some rounds through there, sucker.
No, what they did is they used the big old banger thing and knocked down the door, went in, and they found him apparently sitting on the floor with an iron bar, according to the news reports, an iron bar and a knife. Mm-hmm. And apparently he got up and started to come at the police, and they tried to taser him, but the taser, like, missed. It was one of those with the strings on it or something, and one of the leads missed. They couldn't even shoot. There were 5 UPD officers, okay, that had come into this place, into the room to get this
guy. Obviously not one of the SWAT team Olympic champions we just had here.
No. So anyway, apparently he'd been suffering from depression and delusions and worried about his student visa would be revoked. A victim of childhood polio, he walked with a cane. And I don't know if that iron bar, quote unquote, was the cane or not. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Anyway, they shot him in the head with a bullet, okay?
With a lead bullet?
Yeah. Members of the critical incident response team who entered
How's
the apartment say they threatened him with a knife and a metal rod, in addition to being shot with a Bushmaster M4 rifle. The student was also reportedly hit with a taser and a beanbag gun. Meanwhile, the state attorney's office filed charges against him for resisting arrest and aggravated assault. This is 5 UPD guys. You know, nothing. You understand? This is the same place where we had the "Don't tase me, bro." 6 officers took the guy down because he was complaining.
Is he dead now?
No, he was in super critical condition, ICU for like 4 or 5 days. Now they moved him up to serious, and they said that the
maybe he'll sue and
his brother is down here. Very articulate, so I'm on TV and said, you know, what the hell's going on here? And, of course, they've hired a fellow here in town that I've known for 20 or 30 years who is a, shall we say, the F. Lee Bailey of suits. Let me put it this way. Mr. Geologist from Guyana is not going to ever have to work. So he's going to be retired. There's no question about it.
Maybe he'd be a Jimmy Doan fan since we talked
to
about
to having
him.
Locked himself in this apartment, especially to the degree that response conformed. It conformed to the process that university officials have designed to deal with troubled students. The whole point of the process is to be as compassionate as possible. I love this. But at the same time, you have to balance that, how the individual's behavior is affecting the community. Now, here's a guy who's locked in his room, okay? And the community that he's affecting at this point is his next-door neighbor who maybe wants to study, okay? Go to the library, hello?
Yeah.
No. And the response is, bash the door down, ruin the apartment, five of them crash in there, they try and tase him, doesn't work, they beanbag him, doesn't work, kill him, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's literally, apparently, it was like millimeters that he's not dead. That is the, for being a troubled, depressed, crazy, ranting person in your barricaded in your own apartment, truth, justice shall prevail, you're dead man, okay? They charge him. So it'll be interesting to see if the five officers even get a suspension with pay, or, you know, I mean, are they going to get a slap on the finger, or even just a little touch on the finger, maybe just one of these, you know, kind of. It's just stunning to me. And the editorial here says, gosh, maybe we should think about questioning this. And I'm going like, you think? So. Honest to God. No, but this is after the don't tase me, bro. You'd think the UPD police people would be a little gun shy,
no,
so to speak.
The problem is that they're all amped up because they have nothing to do in this town.
They've got a toy. You know, they shouldn't even be carrying guns. I can't imagine why they're
actually, I think we talked about this before, but it's like the only thing that the people in the police department or the fire department do in this town is write up paperwork for your insurance stuff.
Right. Generally speaking.
Generally speaking.
In this particular case, of course, they kill you.
Well,
I kill you! I kill you! So anyway, I'm done unless you guys got something. Stitch?
You got
I kill you pretty much sums it up. So.
All right.
Do you have anything to add or anything? Or you want to
subtract?
Do
you want to subtract?
Yeah, you want to subtract from some stuff? We can go back in time a little bit.
No, man, I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Good, brother.
Thank you, Stitch, for calling in, sir.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, as always.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Woo-hoo!
We have, we went all the way up to five viewers, and now we're back to three.
Speaking of the Allman Brothers.
Yeah. Well, the Allman Brothers are, you know, you said Dwayne Allman earlier or whatever.
Yeah, that's it, man. Whipping post, man. You can't beat it.
All up, man.
Can't beat whipping post.
No, you can't whip it.
Nope, you can't whip it either.
No.
Road to serfdom.
But I'll tell you right now, man, if you don't listen to Jimmy Dunn's show, listen to the Hanger Dogs.
Yeah. Listen to those guys.
Classic
whoever the
movie,
hell they are.
Other people's money, Danny DeVito. Rewind to the end. Go to the end of this movie. The speeches are the fabulous.
There's some kind of thing Jimmy's talking about over there.
No,
hey, Jimmy, did you have any garage sale bonuses?
Oh! Tell you, I scored Legos today.
Okay, hold on.
You got Legos?
I scored 20 pounds of Legos.
20 pounds of Legos?
Yeah, I'm going to sell them on eBay. That's going to pay for my gas. I didn't play,
20 pounds of Legos? They sell them by the pound now?
Well, I didn't. No. The guy didn't know there was 20 pounds. I just looked at this box and I said, how much do you want for it? He says, 10 bucks. I said, I'm an owner, because it looked like about, I'd say, somewhere between 19.9 and 20.2 pounds.
Right.
I was
19.9.
And so I got home here, and sure enough,
you weighed it out on your Pozl scale.
I'm doing that as I'm leaving now to go put it on eBay.
Man.
I've got two or three things that are supposed to close. I got one thing that's supposed to close tomorrow, and it'll be interesting. So, but I scored. I did well. I won. I did well Saturday at garage sales, and I scored some stuff on some winnings on eBay.
And that's very important.
Now I got to find out my lotto number one.
Yeah, exactly.
$177 million for Powerball.
By the way,
in 300 million shot of winning.
I do have to thank you, Jimmy, for the nice donation you made to the engineer over here on the new computer.
Yeah. Wait till it gets here first and see if it's right.
Yeah, see if it actually works. I bet it should be pretty cool.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to this, and it's great
thank
fun.
You, thank you, Lisa.
And thank you, mostly...
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, who actually put all this together, so...
Yep.
This is going to...
Absolutely.
This is all his... tuning and
doing
the lighting.
The doings. I mean, yes, I can't even barely see anybody with all these lights in front of me.
What I need to do is to get the makeup artist.
Artist. Girl.
Artist. Artiste.
Yes.
That'll be for next time. This was our first HD movie.
HD plus a four-camera shoot.
Four-camera shoot. Should we send this into the Academy for next year or what?
Well, I would imagine so.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, I couldn't.
Next time. Okay. All right. I'm out of here.
All righty, guys. Rock and roll. Take care. Thank you so much.
Bye.